Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. We're here tonight with a very interesting guest. I'll tell you about that in just a second. If you're listening on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches, we are live, and we're glad that you're with us. If you're driving down the Turnpike or 95, please be careful. Of course, if you're listening either on Long Island or in Gainesville or on the Palm or the True Oldies stations on Saturday, this is on tape. But we still hope you have a good, safe trip wherever you're going and have a great day ahead of you. I'm not sure that most of you are aware, but March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. And tonight's guest, Dr. Akiva Marcus, is a noted gastroenterologist. Didn't take me long to screw up the first paragraph. A noted gastroenterologist and hepatologist from JFK Medical Center. He's here to talk about that and everything else gastrointestinal. More on Dr. Marcus in just a minute. But first, I want to thank Savannah Court today for inviting me to speak about Alzheimer's and dementia. I appreciate their hospitality and, more important, appreciate the people that were kind enough to listen today. I hope it was as much fun for you as it was for me. I also want to remind everybody that tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Discovery Village here in Palm Beach Gardens, Dr. David Watson is going to give a presentation on the current state of affairs in the research and development of new drugs for Alzheimer's and dementia. Dr. Watson is the CEO of Alzheimer's Research and Treatment Center in Lake Worth. He's one of, if not the most knowledgeable clinical research specialist in our area, and he promises to give an unbelievable presentation. That is tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Discovery Village in Palm Beach Gardens. If you would like to come, just give them a call, make a reservation, or you can call my office and we'll make sure that we make room for you. So that's at 3 o'clock tomorrow, Discovery Village, Dr. David Watson. But now the reason that you're listening tonight to my guest, Dr. Akiva Marcus, let me tell you a little bit about him. He graduated from Yeshiva University, summa cum laude, with a BA in biology. He then attended Rutgers, Robert Wood Johnson Medical School, where he participated in the prestigious MD-PhD program. During his PhD years, he performed cutting-edge adult stem cell research, leading to numerous scientific publications, awards, and patents. He completed his PhD in 2007, and he graduated from medical school in 2009. He subsequently completed his internal medicine training at Beth Israel Medical Center in New York, where he earned the Dr. Ira B. Cohn Award for Most Outstanding House Officer. Dr. Marcus completed his fellowship training in gastroenterology and hepatology at Montefiore Medical Center, Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx. And as a fellow, he received extensive training in all aspects of gastroenterology and hepatology. Am I pronouncing hepatology right, or is it hepatology?
Hepatology.
Hepatology.
That's right.
All right. Including gastrointestinal reflux disease, peptic ulcer disease, inflammatory bowel disease, chronic hepatitis, motility disorders, and the newest field of fecal microbial transplant. He's currently on the staff of JFK Medical Center and JFK Medical Center North, and he practices with the Digestive Disease Center of the Palm Beaches. And we're going to tell you how you can call him later, so get your pencil ready because we're going to give you his contact information. But Dr. Marcus, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So let's start with colon cancer. It's Colon Cancer Awareness Month. Let's talk about that first.
Okay. So colon cancer is the second leading cause of colon cancer death in the United States. And it's actually the third most common cause of cancer overall, whether you're a man or a woman. And what many people don't know is that less than 50% of people get screened for colon cancer. And it's one of the most preventable kinds of cancer you can have. In fact, the chances of curing colon cancer early, if you get a colonoscopy, is about 90%. Which is huge. There's about 150,000 cases of colon cancer, and nearly 60,000 people die of this disease every year. Just to put it a little more locally, in Florida, there's about 10,000 cases, and about 4,000 people die a year from the disease. And there are different ways of screening for colon cancer. The best way, because it's both diagnostic, meaning you can identify polyps or growths that lead to cancer, and it's also therapeutic, meaning that if we go in, we do a colonoscopy, we can take out those precancerous polyps. Now, our goal, when we do the colonoscopies and when we say screening for colon cancer, we don't want to diagnose cancer. The idea here is to diagnose polyps or growths in your colon that might one day turn into cancer. And unfortunately, one of the bad things about this is that once you're symptomatic, it's usually too late.
You know, it's funny because we were talking about this before the show. You do an awful lot of public speaking. I do a lot of public speaking. When I talk about Alzheimer's disease, I always say, if cancer, would you rather be diagnosed stage 4, stage 3, stage 2, stage 1, or precancerous? And nobody puts their hands up for stage 4. Everybody wants to be diagnosed with precancer. There's no better way to be diagnosed with colon cancer than a colonoscopy. We get that. Why are so many people reluctant to go through that?
Well, first of all, I think there's a lack of awareness. If you asked 100 people at what age they should get colon cancer screening, many of them don't even know what we're talking about because many of the primary care doctors don't bring it up. And that seems to be the biggest problem. The second problem is that people who have friends or family that have colonoscopy say, oh my gosh, that prep was just horrible. Now, when it comes, that's usually the worst part of the procedure. And I think that it's the part of the gastroenterologist to then try to make that a more rosy picture and tell the patient that, well, this is your chance to lose 10 pounds in one day. So I think it's all, you know, it's about the prep. It's about, you know, the stigmata that comes along with prepping for the colonoscopy. But many people who have the prep and get the procedure done are usually very, very happy they got it done.
And this wasn't planned when we scheduled the show, but I had my colonoscopy last week, and I actually looked forward to it. I didn't look forward to the prep. It's obviously not the best afternoon of my life. But I felt a whole lot better an hour after my colonoscopy. It was harmless. It was painless. I went back to work. I didn't drive, but I worked from the house, and it was really a non-event. And you're right. That was the first time I'd been on the scale in a while. It was fun.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, it all else depends on what kind of prep you get. I think that many people are not aware that there's so many different ways of prepping as opposed to 10 years ago or 15 years ago where you had a big drink this huge jug.
Euphemistically called Go Lightly.
Yeah, Go Lightly, which tastes disgusting. But now there's different ways. I mean, I sort of use the Gatorade prep, which people like, because essentially you drink Gatorade and you're getting prep for a colonoscopy at the same time. So that's usually, you know, that's one of the preps I use. But I think that if people knew, just asked their primary care doctor, went to the gastroenterologist and found that that's really not such a bad process, I think we'd be doing a lot better at getting people screened.
So you touched on something early, which is when do you start getting a colonoscopy? And are there family history that affects that? And are there other things that should affect when you start? But basically, when should somebody have their first colonoscopy?
Good. I'm glad you asked that question. So the cutoff date for most people's is 50. Okay. When you hit the age of 50, you should be getting a colonoscopy. Some of our societies, such as the American College of Gastroenterology, recommend that African-Americans should get it at the age of 45. The problem with that is that many of the insurance companies do not pay for that. So when it comes to African-Americans, I look for a reason to do a colonoscopy earlier. And the reason is just this year alone, I've diagnosed 7 patients in their 50s and 60s, all African-Americans, with colon cancer. Okay, so they definitely should be screened sooner. And one of the other, there are a number of risk factors, obviously, for the disease, not just age, but it includes a family history, as you brought up. So if you certainly have a family history of people in your family that have either cancer, colon cancer, or polyps, you should be screened. Okay. And depending on the age of that family member, if they were diagnosed with polyps or cancer, before or after the age of 60, that depends on when you start getting screening colonoscopies.
And how often does one get a colonoscopy, or is that dependent on what you find in your first one?
So a lot of that depends on what you find. A lot of that depends on what the prep is. It also depends on the number of polyps, the types of polyps, and your family history. Certainly, if a family history of colon cancer and that person was diagnosed under the age of 60, you're going to be, irrespective of what you find, you're going to be getting a colonoscopy every 5 years for the rest of your life. But a lot of things, you know, takes into account a lot of different things.
Because I personally have had many more than every 5 years because they found polyps in each circumstance. But I mean, I've gone as far as 3 and 4 years, and it as often as 2 years. So I've had my share. But that typically is a result, though, of what they find.
Correct. It all depends on the type of polyps. Certainly, for example, hyperplastic polyps are completely benign. But if they find one of the precancerous polyps, such as tubular adenomas or tubular villous adenomas, and also it depends on the size of the polyp. If your polyps are more than 1 centimeter in size, you're going to be doing it sooner as well.
So since colonoscopy is the gold standard, are there other early warning signs that people should be taking more seriously than they do? Or is it just something that's kind of a preventative test that you need to do?
So I'm glad you asked that. And you know, there was a friend of mine growing up, and I'll explain to you why I'm bringing this up in a second. I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. And I was lucky enough to grow up in a great neighborhood. And two houses down from me was the only African-American family on the block. I grew up mostly in a Jewish area. And there was an older brother named Mark, and a younger brother named Seth. And we were very tight. We did everything together up until high school, and then we went to college. And I stayed in contact with them over the years. And one day, Seth was in his mid-30s. I was over at their house. I think we were playing Xbox. I don't really remember. You never get too old for that stuff. And he was telling me, he goes, "Hey, Kiva, you're in training now to be a gastro. I was having some rectal bleeding over the last 2 years." So the first question I asked him is, "Was there any blood mixed in with the stool?" And he said yes. And he also started telling me that over the last few months, he's been having some dull pain on the left side of his abdomen. And I asked him if he's losing weight. He goes, "No, not really. I'm going up and down. Has your appetite fine?" I go, "You got to see a gastroenterologist right now." Turns out, unfortunately, he had a huge, almost nearly obstructing mass in his transverse colon. And it had already spread to the liver. And within 1 year, he went to Sloan Kettering, and he failed chemotherapy. He got married to his long-time girlfriend, and within 1 week, he was in hospice. So there, you know, once you start getting symptoms, it's too late. Now, the other symptoms that I didn't mention are jaundice. That's never good. That means the cancer is likely already spread to your liver. And change of bowel habits. So if you've been going regular, okay, for the last couple, for forever, and all of a sudden you start having difficulty going to the bathroom, the stools are, the caliber of the stools maybe are thinner, that's also a sign that something might be wrong.
That's really interesting. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Akiva Marcus. Dr. Marcus is a gastroenterologist and hepatologist at JFK Medical Center. It's Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we are talking about that and colonoscopy. The timing couldn't be better. I had mine last week, and I'm pretty glad it's over. But anyway, we're talking about that. We're going to talk about a lot more before the night is over. We're talking about hepatitis C. There's a lot of misunderstanding about that. We're going to talk about probiotics, antacids, Prilosec. There's so much more. But this is still Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we don't want you to be one of those statistics, and you don't have to be if you listen to what Dr. Marcus has been telling you. If you'd like to ask Dr. Marcus a question or myself, it's easy. All you have to do is call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. If you're listening on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches, we are live tonight with Dr. Akiva Marcus. If you're listening on another station, we hope you had a great day if you're on Long Island or in Gainesville. And if it's Saturday morning, we hope the day ahead gives you all that you want it to be. We're talking about colonoscopy. We're talking about Colon Cancer Awareness Month. We are talking with Dr. Marcus, who is a enterologist, gastroenterologist, and a hepatologist. And we have David on the line with a question. So let's go to David first. Hi, David. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm very impressed with the doctor's credentials as an ex-New Yorker. Those are tremendous institutions where he trained.
It certainly did.
My question is, I'm a patient at the VA, and I had a colonoscopy about 2 or 3 years ago, and I think they were using this Golightly solution, which was just awful. It was so difficult. And so now you're using Gatorade, you said?
Yes, there's a caveat to that. It's Gatorade with something called Miralax. So you actually take a laxative, you mix it up into 2 32-ounce bottles of Gatorade. Again, not the red type because I don't want to think you're bleeding, but one of the, you know, the blue or the yellow, and you mix it up in there. And when you drink it, the Gatorade, it doesn't even like you're drinking any sort of laxative at all. So it sort of makes it a lot easier to tolerate the prep.
I see. Well, the next time I get my colonoscopy, I'll have to, I'm going to write this down and see what they use. But I also just want to also ask you your opinion on this ColoGuard, I think it's called. I've seen so many TV commercials about this. What's your opinion on that? Because my understanding is that it really is not definitive, that you still need a colonoscopy.
So, David, we were just about to talk about that, so your timing could be right. I couldn't have said that. We were talking during the break that this is what we're going to bring up. So we thank you for the question. Dr. Marcus, go ahead.
So one of the things, the gold standard, if you go to any of the GI societies, is colonoscopy. And the reason is because you can diagnose polyps, precancerous polyps, at the earliest stages and remove them before they cause any problems. There are other screening techniques, and the one that you mentioned is one of the newer ones. And I would say that screening technique is good for someone who can't tolerate a colonoscopy. That the Cologuard can diagnose either cancer, which again is too late, or it can diagnose advanced adenomas or growths that are maybe one or two steps away from cancer. And again, that's also a little too late, because sometimes these lesions in your colon can be very, very large. And sometimes, even though they're not cancer and they're precancerous, they still have to be surgically resected. So I think that it's good at screening for cancer. Yes, it will tell you if you have a negative test, you don't have cancer. But it doesn't tell you if you have polyps that might one day turn into cancer. So again, like I said, the best way of screening is definitely going with the colonoscopy.
David, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling. Hope you have a great day. Stay tuned. We're going to talk more about other alternative testing devices. So that was great, because we were talking about Cologuard during the break, but there's also other things. There's virtual colonoscopy. Everybody's trying not to do what they should do, right? And you're not a big fan of the other options as well, right?
Well, I always, you know, you have to give the, whenever you do any procedure, you have to give patients the alternatives of doing the procedure, because again, it is a procedure. There are risks, there are benefits, and there are potential things that can go wrong. That said, it's always better to have the test that you, when you see it, you can do something about it. And a lot of the other tests, you can see the cancer, you can see the growth, but the next stage, the next step is to have a colonoscopy and have it removed. Right. So you're sort of like delaying the inevitable. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, CT colonography or screening, you know, CAT scans are pretty good at detecting lesions, but it also depends on the size of the lesion. Usually, I think the cutoff is 5 or 6 millimeters, and again, it can miss flat lesions. I've seen lesions in the colon that were completely and totally malignant, and they were flat, just lying the, you know, a whole entire segment of the colon, and a CT colonography is going to definitely miss that.
So, you know, we talk so much about the prep being the hard part of a colonoscopy. We didn't talk at all about the procedure itself. The procedure itself is a nothing procedure, right? You get a little nap for a few minutes.
You have the best sleep of your life. You wake up and you ask, "Have we started yet?"
Right. I mean, you're out for less than a half hour in most cases.
That's usually it's a half hour. Yeah,
a half hour, and typically it's propofol. Am I saying that properly?
Yes. Usually propofol is used, and that puts you right out. And the good thing about that is that you wake right up, because it's a very short half-life.
I honestly, for mine, I had an endoscopy at the same time. I maybe 45 minutes all in, but by the time I got home, I was on the computer working as if nothing had happened. I was a little tired, but other than that, it was pretty easy. So there is no reason not to do this. The risks so outweigh the discomfort every 5 years that it's really silly. And I did not realize it was the second largest or the second most prevalent cause of cancer death. That's really interesting. Does this affect men more than women, or women more than men, or is it?
You know, it affects men and women. It affects, you know, one of the other things that really put you at risk is if you're a smoker, that's. You know, that's a no-no. That's going to increase your chance of any colon cancer, of any cancer in the body. The other things is that, is you just mentioned it, is diet. Diet is so important to prevent colon cancer. I mean, if you're on a high-fat diet and love your red meat, then, you know, that's going to increase your risk of colon cancer. And low fiber. Again, we always say fiber, fiber, fiber. That's the reason, because a high-fiber diet prevents you from getting the cancer as well. Physical inactivity, alcohol use, diabetes, obesity, all those things increase your chances.
And everybody zones out when they hear that, but it all does matter. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Akiva Marcus, gastroenterologist and hepatologist at JFK Medical Center, both JFK Main Campus and JFK North. We're going to give you his contact information coming up. If you're listening on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, yes, we are, in fact, live, so you can call us. I'm going to give you that number in a second. If you're listening on 103.9 Long Island's Talk Radio, it's Wednesday night. If you're listening 104.9 Gainesville Talks Radio Station, we're glad that you're with us. And, of course, Saturday mornings, we're now on three stations, 95.9 The Palm, 8 AM, and 92.5, 93.5 The True Oldies, every Saturday morning at 7. So tell your friends, if you're enjoying the show tonight and they didn't listen, they get another chance. I will repeat that later before the show is over. If you have questions for Dr. Marcus or for myself, give us a call, 1-877-960-9960, 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Here tonight with Dr. Akiva Marcus of JFK Medical Center. Dr. Marcus is a gastroenterologist and hepatologist. I keep saying hepatologist. It's really important. We're going to kind of switch direction from colonoscopy and colon cancer to talk about something equally important and something kind of critical for which there is still a great deal of misinformation, and that is hepatitis C. Particularly in the boomer population, hepatitis C is more prevalent than we understand. And actually, Dr. Marcus will explain this to us, but as my understanding, it's totally curable today. So, Dr. Marcus, let's talk about hepatitis C.
Okay. So hepatitis C is a viral infection that affects the liver. There are a number of risk factors, and this is why baby boomers should definitely be screened. And when I say baby boomers, by the way, it means anyone who were born between 1945 and 1965, okay? The risk factors for this disease is anyone's had a blood transfusion before 1992, if you ever had tattoos. So a lot of people in the military, a lot of the VA population, they have hepatitis C and they don't even know it because a lot of them had tattoos, which were done with, you know, non-sterile equipment. People who were incarcerated, people who were IV drug users, so people who lived it up in the 70s, you need to be screened. The majority of people who have hepatitis C don't even realize they have it. And that's one of the reasons that now screening is recommended for this age group. And as you mentioned, it's pretty much curable. So if you told me you had hepatitis C 30 years ago, chances of curing it, or even 20 years ago, 15, 20%, now it's close to 100%.
So what happens to you if you have hepatitis C and don't treat it? What's the next step in that process?
So, I mean, for a small majority of people, I won't say small, but a certain percentage of people with chronic hepatitis C will go on to cirrhosis of the liver or liver failure. And the idea is to treat it before that happens. Now, but the majority of people with hepatitis C, it's never going to cause you a problem. That's why so many people don't even know they have it, because it's virtually asymptomatic. When they were inoculated with the virus or got infected, they probably had a little cold, little muscle aches, a fever, and it kind of went away on its own. But like I said, the majority of people don't even know they have it. And if you are symptomatic, usually that means you probably have cirrhosis of the liver.
And my father died of liver cancer from cirrhosis of the liver. My father had less to drink in his life than I had last week. So it was not at all alcoholic. And it was hepatitis C that was – it really can kill you.
No,
if you don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But it is curable today, right? I mean, the treatments
are great. You know, let's say 20 years ago, you know, you had to get these injections called interferon, and it was just horrible side effects. Most people couldn't even tolerate it. And nowadays, it's for some of the therapies, it's one pill once a day for 8 to 12 weeks, and you're cured.
It's remarkable.
It's unbelievable.
It's remarkable.
Whoever discovered those medications definitely get the Nobel Prize because it's unbelievable.
So the screening for this is nothing more than a blood test, am I correct?
That's it.
It's a simple blood test. So there's no reason for anybody to be struggling with hepatitis.
No, and no one should be scared because if you have it and you're asymptomatic, the chances of curing you are 95 to 100%. So there's really no reason people shouldn't be screened, especially those people in higher risk categories that I mentioned before.
I don't know why anybody wouldn't take care of it. I do know somebody that had hepatitis C who went through the medication regimen, and he's fine. You know, I mean, he's 70 years old. There was no side effects to the medication. He's doing as good as it can possibly do.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's really – is hepatitis C more prevalent in the boomer population than it is younger population or older population because exposure was
exactly. That's exactly the reason. It's because exposure. A lot of the baby boomers, as I said before, lived it up in the 70s, and they were injecting heroin or whatever, and that's where a lot of people were infected.
So – one of the things that you said in terms of early warning signs were change in bowel habits, and that's true of general gastro health. The things like chronic diarrhea just are not good, right? I mean, it's trying to tell you something, right? I mean, are there
yes.
People should not have extremes in their bowel habits. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. So, you know, when I ask a patient, they come to me and they say, I have constipation, I have diarrhea. The first question I have is, what do you mean by that? So if they're having a bowel movement that's soft every 3 days, some people might say, well, that means I'm constipated the other, you know, 2 days. And I say, that's not the case because people don't know what normal is. And normal is individualized, right? Now, people who have either one extreme or the other, so let's say they're having hard stool, they're going to the bathroom once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks, and or the flip side of that is diarrhea, right? So every time they eat, they get belly pain, and then they have a bowel movement. Those are two extremes, and you always have to ask of what people mean by diarrhea, what they mean by constipation. And, you know, interesting that you bring that up. You know, I can't tell you how many people who have been to numerous gastroenterologists. I had a person last week. I was the 8th gastroenterologist he went to. And I was speaking with him, and he said for the last 8 years, he's been having crampy abdominal pain every time he eats. No matter what he eats, he has the pain. Then he has the watery diarrhea. And no one's been able to help him. He's been trying this and that and whatever, homeopathic herbal supplements and probiotics. Nothing's helping him. And I said to him, I go, well, what happened 8 years ago? What was the trigger?
Right.
And he said to me, well, 8 years ago, he's like, you know, no one's ever asked me that question before. And it turns out that 8 years ago, he lost his job, got divorced. His father and mother died within 6 months of each other. And I go, well, that's your problem. You know, a lot of people who have these disorders of, you know, chronic constipation or the chronic diarrhea have something underlying that's causing it. Usually, that's something like anxiety, stress, depression, right. Other psychological ailments, and that usually is the source of their symptoms.
That's really fascinating because I talk about caregiver stress a lot in the presentations that I do regularly, but I rarely talk about how stress plays a role on your body in other ways.
It's a scientific fact that everything in your head affects your bowels. It's called the brain gut axis. So, you know, you ever hear butterflies in your stomach before a test? Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So speaking of gut, we're going to talk about gut health. We're going to talk about good GI health. We're going to talk about antacids. We're going to talk about Prilosec. We're going to talk about everything you ever wanted to know about your gut health as soon as we come back. We're here tonight with Dr. Akiva Marcus. Dr. Marcus is a gastroenterologist and hepatologist at JFK Medical Center. If you're listening here on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, we are still live. There's time for you to call. If you're listening up in Long Island or in Gainesville, we're glad that you're a listener. And, of course, if it's Saturday morning, we are on tape on 95.9, 93.5, and 92.5 FM. We're glad that you're with us. If you have questions for Dr. Marcus and there is still time, feel free. You can call us 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And, Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
If you're just tuning in, you're missing a great show. Where were you? I'm here with Dr. Akiva Marcus. Dr. Marcus is a gastroenterologist and hepatologist at JFK Medical Center. It's Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we've been talking about how it is silly for you not to be screened for colon cancer. And we also talked about hepatitis C, two big issues for boomers and your parents. It's very important. These are all kind of simple things that you can and should do to protect the future of your health, for lack of a better term. Anyway, I want to give, for those who are interested, I want to give Dr. Marcus a chance. How do people reach you, Dr. Marcus, if they'd like to call the office and make an appointment?
Okay, if they want to make an appointment, they can call my office at 561-881-2640, and they can usually get an appointment within a few weeks.
That's great. Yeah. And do you have a website? Is there a website?
Yes, it's www.digestivedisease.centerpb.com.
All right. Let's give the phone number one more time.
It's a 561-881-2640.
All right. I think one of the things that we want to talk about, during the break we mentioned this, we want to talk about all these medications that are out there. I mean, Prilosec, I think, is the first, you know, the one that most everybody knows, but there are others. And I know that you feel strongly about this. So let's talk about
it. Yeah, so there's been a lot of controversy over the last few months with people who are on medications called proton pump inhibitors. Those are medications like Prilosec, Protonix, Nexium, or Prevacid. And there's been a lot of research coming out that people who are taking these medications, especially baby boomers, that they're taking these medications, they have all sorts of side effects. They can cause problems with their kidneys. They can cause pneumonia. They can cause infections. One of the latest studies showed that it can increase your chances of dementia. And I get this question all the time. So the question is should I stay on this medication or not stay on this medication? So I think the first thing everyone has to realize is that there are potential side effects with any medication you take, even Tylenol. And that's the first thing. The other thing is that you should only be on medications that you have to be on. So what happens sometimes is gastroenterologists put you on a medication or primary care put you on a medication like Prilosec, and they sort of leave it on. So you're on it forever. And then over 10 years, when you're asked by another doctor, why are you on this medication? Like, well, I don't know. I've just been on it for forever. And that happens all the time. So I think that one of the things you have to ask yourself is, do I need to be on this medicine? Has my heartburn gone away? Did I lose weight? And now maybe I don't need the medication anymore. The other things that people have to realize, these medications, especially the acid suppression medications, can cause other problems which have to be monitored, such as they could be deficient in vitamin D, B12. Okay, that's why I tell my patients, if they're on these medications, to take supplements. Okay, B12, vitamin D, and a multivitamin every day. And so those are the types of things that people are concerned about when they take these medications. And remember that you should only be on medications that you need. The sooner you get off them, the better off you're going to be.
I may be misspeaking, but has they not found some positive connection, though, between these proton inhibitors and heart disease after an event? I seem to remember my cardiologist saying that he wanted me to stay on the Prilosec.
Well, it depends. So the benefits, I'm not aware of the study that you're referring to, but, you know, someone who is on, let's say, has a heart attack and they have, let's say they're on aspirin, they have a stent in, so they're on clopidogrel or something called Plavix, and for those of you who have stents know what I'm talking about, and then now they have arthritis, and they need to take a pain medication. They need to take Mobic. They need to take ibuprofen or Aleve or one of those. You know, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Right.
Because you have two things that are going to make you bleed, the aspirin and the other antiplatelet agent, the Plavix. And now you're taking NSAIDs, which is things like Advil, ibuprofen, naproxen, which cause ulcers. So that's a disaster waiting to happen. So those types of patients, we usually tell them prophylactically to take an acid suppression medication. Now, does it have to be Prilosec? No, it could be something maybe on a lower scale, such as a Zantac,
right,
which has potentially less side effects. So that's probably what he meant.
That's really, really interesting. Heartburn and indigestion is not normal, but you don't necessarily have to treat it with a lifetime treatment of things like these proton inhibitors, right? There may be other causes. It may be your diet. There are any number of reasons, right? It's just not normal to have chronic heartburn or indigestion.
Chronic heartburn is not normal. So if you have it every day or if you're sleeping at night and all of a sudden you feel acid coming up, that is not normal. Okay, that's when you should definitely be seeing a gastroenterologist or telling your primary care doctor that you're having these symptoms and trying one of these acid suppression medications. But those are never normal symptoms. And the problem is that a lot of people kind of blow them off and said, oh, it's heartburn. And then what happens is all of a sudden they come to my office and they start saying, you know, I've had heartburn for the last 6 years or 10 years or 12 years, 20 years, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm having this trouble swallowing now. And that's what we call, as all doctors, an alarm symptom. That's what, you know, gets my bells going. And that's a person who, you know, one of the risk factors, one of the problems with chronic heartburn is that you can get changes to the bottom of your esophagus that are precancerous. So if you've had heartburn over a long period of time.
And that's Barrett's esophagus.
That would be Barrett's, yeah. And Barrett's is when, so just to sum up just briefly what it means, is that it's when the lining of your esophagus changes, and anytime something changes in your body, from one cell to another, it's never good. Okay, it's precancerous. And a small percentage of people with Barrett's can then go on to cancer, which causes those problems swallowing. That's why we call that an alarm symptom.
So you're making my wife's day because I have Barrett's on top of my colonoscopy.
Right. Well, what people don't know is that people with chronic heartburn, I had heartburn. Right. I weigh 20 pounds more than I weigh now. Okay, and one day I was actually visiting in Florida. I was lying down at night. All of a sudden, I started choking on acid. Right. I said, oh my gosh, now I know what my patients are going through. So I lost 20 pounds, the heartburn went away.
Right.
If you lose weight the heartburn will go away.
And we're going to talk about prevention and good health in just a second. If you just tuned in, you're missing a hell of a show. We're here with Dr. Akiva Marcus. Dr. Marcus is a gastroenterologist and hepatologist at JFK Medical Center, JFK North as well. He has been talking about colon cancer because it is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. We've been talking about hepatitis C, which is completely curable at this moment. You did miss a great show. But if you missed the show and are sorry you did, tune in late. Good news. We podcast. Yes, we do. Tomorrow, OMG, I'm getting. Up we will pop. OMG, I'm getting. We're on all the platforms. You can get us. I also post it on our website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Palmbeach.comfortcare. C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. Do not put a T in there. I know you want to. Don't do that. Palmbeach.comfortcare.com. If you don't have a radio and you're not in your car and you wish you did because you want to listen to the show, you have a smartphone, and we have an app. It's called TuneIn Radio. You can download the app. It's free on all the platforms. TuneIn Radio, set a reminder for 5 o'clock on Monday nights, and we will be here, 900 a.m., the talk of the Palm Beaches. Of course, we also simulcast. We are on the web. We simulcast around the state, around the country, and around the world, www.900thetalk.com. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow, 3 o'clock at Discovery Village, which is a new independent assisted living community right here in Palm Beach Gardens. Dr. David Watson of Alzheimer's Research and Treatment Center will be there talking about the latest in research and development of drugs to treat Alzheimer's and dementia. Discovery Village is at 100 Discovery Way, and their number is 561-800-0081. That's 800-0081 if you want to make an appointment and or if you want to make a reservation and be there. Again, if you're sorry you missed this show, we podcast, palmbeach.com for care, tune in radio, whatever. Next week, Alyssa Herman will be here. Alyssa Herman, she's a wellness coach, and she's going to explain how you can create your own wellness program, whether you're doing 5Ks, 10Ks, or whether you're in a wheelchair. There's still opportunity for you to take care of yourself. So she will build or talk about building a personalized exercise program that can make all the difference. In 2 weeks, it is the first Seder. So I won't be here, but we will. And the show will be whatever I decide it will be before 2 weeks from now. But I'll tell you all next Monday night what that will be. In 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about independent living and assisted living and all of your senior living options with a returning guest, Kim Alley. Kim is a good friend. Nobody knows more about senior living options. You're not going to want to miss that show in 3 weeks. But we still have some time with Dr. Marcus. Dr. Marcus, I know we want to talk about prevention, good health and prevention. So how do we prevent? Well, how do we prevent needing the most dramatic of your cures?
So I'm glad you asked that question, because there's, you know, for every disease and all medical ailments that people suffer for, it all comes down to the same things. So, for example, regular exercise, okay? If you smoke, don't. Quit. If you drink too much, don't, because that will increase your risk for all the cancers that I deal with, esophageal, colon, and stomach cancer. The other thing is, what you want to do is make sure you're eating right. And what does that mean? You should be eating more than 5 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables a day, which I know no one does. And you should also increase your whole grains, which hopefully won't be a problem if you are celebrating Passover. And also to decrease your intake of red meat. Now, we all like our steak, but don't have it every single night. And again, maintain a healthy weight. Like I said, losing weight can cure a lot of the diseases that I deal with, including, as we mentioned before, heartburn.
How do you feel about probiotics?
Probiotics, you know, they can't hurt, okay? There's only a few things that really probiotics have been shown to be efficacious for, and those things are diseases that gastroenterologists deal with on a actually rare basis, like pouchitis, which I won't get into details. But certainly there is, you know, there's 100 trillion bacteria in your gut. 100 trillion bacteria in your gut. That's a lot of bacteria.
Wow.
So most of those bacteria are good. Some of them are bad. So the thought behind probiotics is to make sure you're getting the good bacteria. And the bacteria have been shown to help with modulation of the immune system, to improve the barrier, the intestinal bacterial barrier, to prevent bad bacteria from getting into your body. And also it's been shown to modulate pain. So people who have IBS, some of those patients get relief with probiotics.
That's great. So there's a lot of talk about gut-healthy diets. I think one of my least favorite, Dr. Oz, I'm just not a big fan. I'm sorry. He talks about gut-healthy diets and eliminating everything, kind of doing a cleanse and adding things back in, and it can change your life. Are you a big fan of gut-healthy diets, or is it about just eating what we all know we should be eating and
that's
doing
exactly
a better
what
job
it is.
Of?
I think that's just putting a label to it. You know, everything I mentioned as far as diet goes is exactly what you mentioned. And it's unfortunate and it's difficult. Don't get me wrong. It's difficult to abide by a diet like that. But I think that those are, you know, fad diets and just putting a label to what we already recommend.
Right. And so there is no reason any longer for people to suffer some of the more debilitating diseases that you treat, because almost everything that you deal with is preventable at some level. Certainly diagnosed early, treatment is simple for almost all of the things that we've talked about tonight. In the case of hepatitis C, just a pill for 8 weeks. It's not the end of the world. Eating healthy, et cetera, colonoscopy or whatever. All of these things are there. It just has to kind of be top of mind. Am I right? You're never going to be put out of business because none of us do that. But the fact of the matter is most of what we come to see you for would get better if we just took care of ourselves better.
Took care of yourself and also learn how to deal with stress, because like I mentioned, stress, you know, the mind affects the gut. So that's another thing that people need to address.
So can you, and we talked about it earlier in the show, for those people who are hesitant, reluctant, kind of refusal and denial, all right, about going for a colonoscopy, all of the people that, you know, get dragged kicking and screaming into your office. Is there one thing you can tell people, that would make people take the plunge and come in and get that colonoscopy that they need or some other screening?
Well, when it comes to screening, it's always better to get it now than after you have the disease that we're screening for.
Right.
So it's one day. The prep really isn't as bad as you think it is. There are various types of preps, as I mentioned before, including the, quote, Gatorade prep that has the laxative mixed in. And that's essentially the worst part. You miss one day at work and that's it. But don't let that stop you from getting a colonoscopy.
Right. How do people reach you again?
So my office number is 561-881-2640. That's 561-881-2640.
So if you've been listening to Dr. Akiva Marcus here, and oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, Dr. Marcus, the information that you gave was really invaluable. It truly was. And I think, you know, if we change one person's lifetime, we know we changed one person's approach to what their prep is going to be in the future because they called. But if we've changed one person's life, it's been really valuable to have you here. You've been a great guest and I appreciate you spending the time with us tonight. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So if this is Scott Greenberg, oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. If you're a new listener, we are here every Monday night live on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. We rebroadcast on 95.9 FM, 93.5 FM, 92.5 FM every Saturday morning, 8 AM for 95.9. 92.5 and 93.5. We're on at 7 o'clock Saturday mornings. We're also rebroadcast on Long Island. So if you have friends up in that neck of the woods, tell them to tune in. We're on 103.9 every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. And we're on in Gainesville 104.9 at 8 o'clock Wednesday night. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We are here live most weeks and, we mix it up. We don't always talk about medical issues. We talk about a whole host of things. If you have ideas of subjects that you would like us to talk about, let us know. Just let the station know at 1-877-960-9960. We'll consider putting your idea on. Next week, we're going to be talking to Alyssa Ehrman. We're going to be talking about a wellness program that anybody can take advantage of. For those of you, again, who are regular listeners, I thank you for being here. For those who are new and just found us, please come back. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. With Scott Greenberg here every Monday night live at 5 o'clock on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. Hope everybody has a great week, all. Thank you again, Dr. Marcus. We'll see you all next week. Good night.